Merry Christmas, brothers, and all the inquirers. Merry Christmas. Christ is truly born.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We're usually always impeccably on time here, not crazy on time, so it doesn't matter. Something, we would have been a little late today anyway, because we had to fix stuff up here. We're doing more stuff for the filming, but usually we're on time, so I don't want you people to get the wrong impression. You get some people, if they say that guy Bishop Stuckart, he was a maniac. He'd have to get people waiting for a half hour to an hour. Mm-hmm. Late. He'd be a half hour to an hour late for Mass, and he'd have the people waiting consistently. Now that's that. You know what I call that? That's a bastard. He's stealing other people's time. That's a selfish bastard. He thinks the world revolves around him, and he wants the whole world to wait for him.
Yeah.
And they said he was notorious for that. Yeah. I mean, it can happen once maybe or twice, once in a while, but this guy would do it all the time. So your Mass is at 9 o'clock. People could show up at 9. He doesn't show up till 10. 9:30, 10:30. Stuckart ought to be ashamed of himself because he was German. And Germans are supposed to be on time. But he was a kook anyway. He was a nut. He was the guy that ran the CMRI group up in Spokane, Washington, right, Phil?
Yeah, Coeur d'Alene.
Yeah, Phil was up there once. He was belonged to them at one time.
That's better.
So it's Sergeant
What we're going to do, because we're just going to do the upcoming week's lectures, and we're going to give a memorization verse also. Now, who remembers last week's memorization verse?
It was 1917. I think it was Matthew.
Okay, that's it.
And you said... remember you were saying about the Russian Revolution. Sorry.
Yes, that's right. All right, Thomas, do you remember what the verse is?
I actually don't.
Okay, if thou will enter...
If thou enter into heaven, keep thy commandments.
Yeah, if thou learn to life, keep the commandments. Okay. If thou will enter into life, right, keep the commandments.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And that's, we got one more on the faith and deeds, maybe one or two more, and then I'm going to go into about learning the faith. So this is our big one. It's at the end of the Emily Rose movie, even, on the tomb. Philippians 2:12. All the brothers know that one here.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, Sister Mary Lou, what is it?
Fear and trembling, keep thy... work out your salvation. Yes.
With fear and trembling, work out your salvation.
Okay, go ahead, TJ.
I was just saying that verse, work out your faith and fear and trembling, I was trying to convince my brother because he was saying about faith how he just can't believe in something. And I told at the time, a bit last week, I forgot about the verse, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom.
That's a good one.
Wisdom. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom.
Yes.
And then I realized that work out your faith with fear and trembling.
Yeah,
because he doesn't have the fear of God. That's the problem.
Yeah.
If he had that verse, he might be able to take that leap, you know?
That was one of my first things in the Norwich Order that I know, not one, it's just one of the many things, but the fear of God. Forget about it. Don't ever talk about the fear of God. That was for the Old Testament. Yeah. Only those rotten, dirty Jews that were not as good as we are had a fear of God, but not us. Love God, but don't fear him anymore, right? So one of my first memorization verses on the fear of God was Luke 1:50. And his mercy is from generation to generation to them that fear him. And who said that? Our Blessed Mother Mary. His mercy is from generation to them who fear God. And the Old Testament, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. I think that's Ecclesiastes 1:25 or something.
Psalm 110:10.
And the other one, the fear of God is the beginning of his love.
Yeah.
So you fear God before you even love him. You know, you can't... If you fear him, he's almighty, he's all-powerful, you obey him, he's the boss, he can kill, he can make to live, and then you love him later on, because then you realize how great and good he is. Anyway, but the fear of God is another thing you don't hear about. If all you need to do, you're right, Tom, is to believe in Jesus, then why should I have to fear him? You know, why should I have to obey any commandments? And like I told one guy, why do Protestants even have to pray? Think about it. Well, what do you got to pray for? Do your altar call. I believe in Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm saved. I can now go home. I don't have to pray. I can pillage. I can murder. I can commit fornication. I can commit pedophilia. I can steal from people. I'm saved. You know, that is one of the worst things. And what's the equivalent to that in the Norwich Ordo Church? Go to confession and you're saved, even if you don't have a sincere repentance. You don't have true contrition, which means sorrow. Go ahead.
Just wear a scapular.
Oh, yes. That is so big and so bad. I got my scapular, I'm saved.
Yeah.
You know, I went to confession, I'm saved. And confession, we're going to be posting up next week, by the way. You're going to love this one on penance, the sacrament about contrition. I won't talk about it too much now. We'll be here too long on that. But anyway, the Philippians 2:12 is a very good one. With fear and trembling, work out your salvation. So we go back now to the first one we had, which was James 2:26. Who knows James 2:26 in here? I know you guys all know it. Faith without works is
dead.
Yeah.
Actually, now you got this.
Faith without works is dead. But anyway, that's the one for this week, Philippians 2:12. And we can probably have one more next week, and that'll be our faith. You need faith in works to be saved. Faith in deeds to be saved. It's amazing because it's right in the Protestant Bibles, too. Three kings out of the Judah line and out of the northern kingdom of Israel, not one. So, okay, but they think we're supposed to. So when you look at these movies and you see how bad these people are, that's one thing, good thing about the Catfile movies, too. You see how most Catholics are bad. You got to really deal with, like, obstinate, sinful, bad-willed people, and it's all this going on. But they got you believing somehow that now that Christ came, we're off the hook, and we can do whatever we want. We're better than the Jews were. And St. Paul warned about that. He says, don't be high-minded. If you do what the Jews do, you're going to get your asses kicked out. And then I'm going to bring the Jews back in the final days. So there's that arrogance about, we got Christ in his grace. You know, we can do no wrong. We got this special super grace that forces us to be good. Anyway, now you're sick and you're in pain, you follow the doctor's orders. Pain pills are for pain. They're okay. It's only when you abuse them. And a matter of fact, if you don't take pain pills when you're in pain, you may die. Because what that does is your body needs to rest to recover. And when you're in pain and you're not sleeping, your illness becomes way worse and you can die because you're not getting enough rest. So there's a proper use for pain pills. And take them when a good doctor prescribes them. I mentioned that. It's only when you abuse them and you take them when you don't need them. But you must take them when you need them. Nothing can hurt you. Even if God tests you, you get sick, yes. But God, we pray and God will pull you out of it. Especially when you're in a hospital, too. Because hospitals, they got a lot of germs in there. Yeah. Not Germans, germs. They got a lot of germs in here. And things can happen, you know, but if God's with you, you can overcome it. But you do need extra prayers, especially if you're in a hospital. Kind of a fearful thing to be in the hospital today, you know, because of the people you're next to, if you're all pagans, you know. I mean, God will protect you, though. And on the natural plane, people still do have a care for other people, so. But so you got to offer up your prayers, especially when the brother's got to go into the hospital. But people come in, they got things to overcome, you know. But our job is to let them know. And I was talking to Brother Willer about this even. I think the worst thing is disobedience, and this is what I mean by that. The first sin was disobedience to God. It wasn't anything else but that. It was pride. And sometimes, so when I tell you what to do, first of all, if Thomas, when you tell them what to do, or any Catholic tells another Catholic to do according to our faith, and it's based on dogmas and God's laws, it's God speaking. Now, if you don't like it because you got pride, how dare him speak to me like that? You know, no one's going to tell me what to do, Bubba. You know, it's that independent spirit. It's that spirit of rebellion. So they get angry because I told them what they had to do. That's all part of that mushiness. And that's where most people fall out. They say, bye, we're no Protestants here. We're not like a bunch of liberal mushies. This is the Catholic Church. This is God's law. We got commandments to follow here. And I don't want to go to hell because I'm weak on someone else. And I commit a sin of omission because I let somebody slide by. And so that's how you can tell when a lot of people, some people, not everybody, like in America, you got a lot of it over here. These patriotic people say, no one's going to tell me what to do. No king, no pope, no ruler is going to tell me what to do. Can you see that guy with us? Never. Unless he gets an attitude adjustment overnight. You know who will be with us? People like in North Korea. People like with zealous Muslims. Talmudic Jews. Orthodox Jews are very obedient to their rabbis. Mafia guys who give an oath of loyalty to their godfather. These are the people we're going to have easier to convert. You got so many people with that spirit of disobedience. And that when you tell them to do something, they get real angry. No, because democracy did that in republics. You're not going to tell me what to do. And That's why I says all these nutritionists and oversellers, they don't require obedience. They don't demand commandments. They don't tell you there's a consequence. That's why I'm living in truth or consequences. Because there's consequences. Yeah. And nobody tells these people. You think you're going to get into heaven? If you don't want to be told by another Catholic something that you need to do according to the faith, how are you going to get into heaven? You think you're going to listen to God in heaven? No, you're not. You'll spit in God's face, too. So that's why poverty, obedience, and chastity are your three greatest things. Poverty, because you don't, it doesn't mean you have to be poor, but the spirit of poverty. Always be ready to be poor, don't love riches. Chastity, which means if you're not married, no sexual activity at all. If you're married, only with your wife and within the boundaries of with your wife. And obedience. And that's the first, of course, pride entered Eve, and she thought she could be like God, and so they disobeyed God. I'm not going to listen to you. I'm not going to do what you tell me. So, most of the people that, another thing is, most of the people that are coming into the church in these days are going to fall out the back door. So don't be disappointed. Don't put carts before horses. Don't say, oh, this person was so good, I'm going to go at all lengths to have this person stay with us. God comes first. Most people are not going to stay faithful. It's just the way of since the beginning of the fall of Adam and Eve. Read the Bible. Most people go back. Look at Abraham Moses. So don't be overly attached to even any of the brothers here. You've got to be ready to be on your own if you have to. But the only person we need is God and His commandments. We don't even need one another if we're not right. We help one another and we support one another. But you really don't need, if it was only you in a cave and everyone else died, I was alone for many years. But when brothers came in, it was a gigantic help to me. It was. But God proved something to me when I was alone. And many things could happen. I was so alone. Really, when I was in Newark on 517 North 6th Street, my apartment, I said, you know, if I fall down and like broke my leg in the middle of the room, I would die. And when I couldn't get to the phone, I would die in the middle of the room. Because I didn't want to be around anybody. My family members were all close to me. I used to have a lot of friends. And I don't want them. I didn't want to speak to them. I don't want to know nothing about them. And even when I was up in the paper route, there was a period of time I was all alone up there and God was with me. So, that's, you just got to be very careful about, just, it's simple when you watch these movies, obey God's commandments, keep His law, your enemies will flee from you and you will prosper. And that's it, God. The minute you start saying things like, well, I don't want the priest to come in because I'm afraid of this or I don't want that, and can I take the COVID just anyway, it's just a small thing. Once you start doing stuff like that, you're disobeying God. And then you're going to fall prey to the very thing that you were fearful of. So, you know, you got to be selfish about one thing in this world. Your own soul. My soul. I don't want to go to hell for nobody. Like he said to Ezekiel, son of man, if show the wicked man his sins and tell him his iniquity. And if you don't tell him, he'll go to hell and you're going to go to hell also. If you tell him, he'll just go and be delivered your own soul. I don't want to go to hell for nobody. I don't care how good they sound, how nice they sound. They can talk a lot, a good game. They can say a lot of good things, but when the pedal hits the metal is when the church tells you to do something that to stop doing some type of a sin you're committing or to do something that you need to do, and you listen or you don't listen. Now, most people when they come to the church are committing one or two mortal sins. They're idolizing their family members, most everybody. A lot of people do that. And so you're here to tell them you can't do that no more. That's what keeps us as brothers here and keeps us joyful and happy. It really does. Because if all the people that either left here or I kicked out of here were right now in this room, it would be chaos. I would be talking the way I'm talking. It would be Mush and me. Let's bring in Mr. Rogers. Let's bring in the Barnum and Bailey three-ring circus. And let's just, you know, bring in Poop Francis. And that's what you guys got.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why we're happy. That's why we're joyful. Because if a guy's of goodwill, now, most people get angry at you when you tell them the first time that something's a sin they didn't always, and they can't do it no more. That's kind of a natural first reaction. But if you have some goodwill, you go home and you think about it. Is what Richard saying is right? Are you willing to go to hell because of something because you don't want to give up this one sin? But if you're of goodwill, you sit back and say, I don't want to go to hell. He's right what he's saying here. And then that takes humility too. And so you have to love the truth. You have to be humble and you can't be a coward. And when I mean humble, and humble gets rid of that pride, which is where you don't want to be told what to do by anybody. Now, this is a good lecture we're having today for all the brothers. God's been working miracles since we've been allowed tremendous miracles here. But and this is important to know so we don't get seduced by anybody who comes in, no matter how good they may sound, no matter, and like you said, Thomas, very perfectly, and I detected that too, that when he's trying to get you to sin by omission, but you didn't move off of it. But what they're going to do is they're going to attack you. Mm-hmm. Then the other brothers are listening, and they have to take a side. Mm-hmm. Now, if the other brothers realize what you said was true, and they're humble, they got to take your side. If they take his side, go, leave with him. Get out of here. Yeah. You're going to get a lot of people coming here, trying to push their will on us. Mm-hmm. It's like, who's that one guy? I said, it was crazy, I forget. It's unbelievable. And he's trying to, I said, you're going to tell us what to do? This got really bad. I said, you're coming into here, and you want to live, and you're going to tell us, you're going to tell me, all of us, what to do? We're the ones that are Catholic, not you. We're the ones that have the faith, not you. You know, we're the ones going to tell you. And that doesn't mean we can't be wrong. Anybody who knows, if I'm wrong on something, you bring it up. But they're going to try to get you to buck on one of God's commandments, and you're going to cave in because of some stupid human being. But what you still need to do is have that spirit of obedience towards the church. And so when the church teaches about slavery or about corporal punishment, and you still don't accept it, that's bad. When I quote to you that verse about if a child's obstinately disobedient, turn him over to the elders, and if the elders judge him to be guilty, lay your hands upon him, stone him to death. Well, don't you understand about that? Yeah. Okay, you want to say, I don't want to even spank my kid? How do we go from that to you only want to spank your kid? You think I'm going to put up with that? Oh, no, I know what God's word is. And when you read that and you reject that, you're rejecting God, period. And I don't want nothing to do with you. Because we're not about that. We're about respecting and obeying God. And they're going to try to drag us into their mushy little cozy world.
But Sam Edwin, he's the Inquisitor. It's not the most glamorous job in the world.
That's correct, yeah. That's what we call Will the Inquisitor. Yeah.
And no. We need to be appreciative of that mindset that... And we all need to do with it.
Right, you know, that's what I was saying. When you watch a Catfile movie, you look at the abbot, the superior, and how he gives commands to his monks and they obey him. That obedience is such a wonderful thing. And it's because when you're an inquisitor too, if people are used to obedience, because, see, back then too, your parents demanded obedience. No one's obedient anymore today. So this is a really serious problem that these democracy republic people have. So when you sit down and you start acting, oh, you're telling me what to do. But even when I grew up, it wasn't that bad. People would tell you what to do. If you go into a football team, the coach is bossing you around. You better obey him and be respectful to him. So we're living in a world where obedience is not there anymore. And people get angry when you tell them what they need to do. But there was disobedience going there. How dare Richard tell me what to do? And here's my point. If what I'm telling you what to do is from God's will, and it's God's faith, it's God telling you what to do. I'm the ruler of the Catholic Church, but even another brother could tell you that. Sister Laura could tell you something if you're doing it wrong. And if what she's saying is correct, it's correct. So what are we supposed to do? Not admonish people? You're going to be teaching us? But then the other people, when they get admonished, they accept it. And they accept it. And they take it. It's like water over the duck's back. Thank you, Richard. You know? And sometimes you can say, maybe you don't think you're wrong, but at least thank you for admonishing me. At least you care about me. At least you care enough about me to tell me the truth. So this is a good lesson for all of us to watch out when people come in. And the devil has really sneaky ways of trying to drag you out. And from the beginning, people have been trying to get me to stop judging and condemning people, mm-hmm. which is the job of everybody, and punishing people. That's the job, that's natural law. But this is so rampant. Oh, stop talking so much about corporal punishment. Can't we just do this instead? Can't we do that instead? Can't we do this instead? Read the scripture. Study what's been going on. Look at the natural law. Look at the difference between kids that are punished when they grow up and kids that aren't. Look at the world you're living in. So, if we get this correct, right, like we're right, and you're going to come in and teach us, and I'm going to go by your decree, you're going to bring the world into me, and I'm going to stop preaching corporal punishment and capital punishment and the death penalty and just wars. I'm going to stop because you. I've never stopped since. I was never like that anyway when I grew up, so I'm glad I grew up in Newark in the city where I grew up. I never had that problem, but other people do, and if they don't overcome it,
That's why Christ said, when I come again, will I find faith on earth? Will they? Tons of people will call themselves Catholic, but will they really have faith?
That's if you heard what Bruce just said, it was very good. He said, when the Son of Man comes, think he had faith on earth. And Bruce said, there's going to be a lot of people on earth that say they're Catholic, as we have today. But he says, is there any faith at all? And what does that mean? It's a very scary thing. So, and if you really cared about everybody, especially those who are coming close, you're not going to let them take you out. You're going to do what you need to do to bring them in. And if they don't listen, then you got to cut them off. Like St. Paul cut off the one man in Corinthians and said, "Better deliver them over to Satan and let Satan beat them up so maybe they don't, after he's punished, they'll come back to us later on." So this is a good lesson for all of us. In fact, the only person we really need ultimately is God. And what I always say before, anybody who's a believer, we trust them until they can be untrusted. But all unbelievers are not trusted until they can be trusted. Unbelievers have to prove themselves to us. Believers will trust you until you prove to us you're not trustworthy. That's a good way to look at it. And just be aware of the fact that the devil uses people to try to get you away from one or more dogmas. Don't preach the faith the way you got to preach it. You see, that's like a true spirit of a priestly spirit or a son who loves God is someone who's pastoral care for his flock. You don't see these other people doing this. I grew up, no priest cared about us. They didn't preach the way I'm preaching. Nobody told you, stop doing this. Matter of fact, when you're in a confession, they would tell you, you can't stop sinning anyway, so who cares? Just keep going to confession and don't worry about it because you can't stop. No obedience, nothing. You know, it's unbelievable what we're living in under these circumstances. All right, now, but this is God inspired us to talk about this because it can help a lot of people who might be a little weak and maybe they're faltering a little bit and they get dragged in by a weak brother or a weak sister and they're dragging them out. And then stay to your guns. Hold to the faith. If they don't want to listen, get them out of here. And if you leave them in here, and like I said before, if I never kicked people out, and some people just left too, some I kicked out and some left. A lot of them really were not with us anyway for a long time. Like that one verse, they went out from among us because they were not of us. If they are of us, they know that they remained with us. But other people you kick out. But the ones you kick out, they're already gone anyway. You know, and you see it. But if you bring them all back in here right now, you'd have a collection of horrible bozos. Feminists, mushy people, rebellious people. And if you put them all in the same room, they'd be fighting with one another. Because they were even amongst one another, there's no concord. We have peace that Christ gives in concord because we obey his commandments. And if we're not, we have the humility to confess our sins and to ask God to help us. And that's it.
Amen.
And let's be ready that most people that we're going to get on the site, the Irish City of Constance site, or coming for other ways, most of those people are going to be gone. I said that years ago when we had more people here, and so most of the brothers didn't believe. They're going, "What do you mean, me?" And now, it happens. Come on, you know? We're not Protestants. You know, we don't think you can be saved just by believing in Jesus. You got to obey His commandments. Okay, so any other questions on that? And then we can begin with the mass prayers. Casey, you know, I say it too. Like, and once people are out, I still love them, but I don't like them. You know. Yeah. You can abhor people. Like my family members, I abhor them. I don't like them at all. I abhor them. If they died right now, tomorrow, what the hell, I'd dance on the roof and say, praise God, because it's God's will. Yeah. But if they converted and came into the church tomorrow, I'd be the happiest person in the world. It's absolutely true. Sure. But my emotions are dead to them. I don't let it. It's not in me. I love God so much, I abhor them. I do. I do. If they died now, like my father died and mother, they're presumed to be in hell, and I dance on the roof. And that's where you belong, you dirty bastard. That's the way I feel about it. Because they disobeyed God. And they never converted. They never listened to all. So that's the way I feel about them, right? Now, if they ever converted, I'd be the happiest man in the world.
Well, right. And Beckett, you're talking about Beckett. I love the honor of God.
That was a very powerful statement.
It was.
And Bruce, we always bring this up. Remember Beckett says, did you begin to love God, Thomas? And he says, I began to love the honor of God. And that was a really good answer. I'm going to tell you why. Most people use that mushy love. Homos say they love homos. Mm-hmm. Adulterers love adulterers, and it's a forbidden love. You know, but God can't offer that love. But it's a love. It's a kind of a love. But it's that mushy, fake, lustful love. What does God tell you true love is? He obeys my commandments. This is charity, that we keep his commandments. 1 John 5:3. This is the charity of God, the supernatural love of God, that we keep his commandments. So what was Beckett saying? I love the honor of God. I honor God. He really loved God. He didn't even know it. Because he was, if you watch the movie, he had that lustful kind of love. He was running around with women. So it wasn't that kind of a fake, phony, lustful love. It was a kind of love where you can say, I love the honor of God. So much so that I obey God. And God says, well, Thomas, you really love me. That's what love is. Think about it. How could you say you love your parents and all that and you don't obey them? You don't listen to them when they're trying to do something good. Where's the love in all of that? You know? So that was one of my favorites when he says, I love the honor of God, which means you really love God. I'd rather have somebody say that than, oh, I love God, but I don't love his, I don't want to obey his commandments. You know? But I'm sorry.
That's what I can't remember the kid, the two sons of Jesus, the one said he would do it, and then he didn't do it.
Yeah.
He didn't do it, but then he later he did do it.
The one kid said yes, but he didn't do it.
Yeah.
So, it's the obedience. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. So who obeyed his father? Who loved his father? Because you got that mushy love floating around there, which the world's used to, you know? But that's how you prove your love of God, by obeying his commandments. Again, so God tells you to do something. Think about it, you parents, if you have kids. You know, a simple thing like this. I told you, don't eat between meals. And you get your kid going in the cookie jar. You let him keep doing that? And you don't punish him? Or you tell him, no, you really shouldn't do that. You know, I told you not to do that. And then the kid knows you're not doing anything. So he does it the next day and you don't do anything. He does it the next day. Now he's going to do something else. Then he's going to do something greater. And pretty soon, you lost control of your kid. That kid, then he's going to start telling you what to do. He's spitting in your face. Does he love you, your child? Does he respect you? Does he honor you? That's the world we're living in. I say, even the prophets got angry sometimes, but I said, don't stay angry too long. No more than about 2 weeks or a month, and you better get over your angry. You may be angry at Thomas because he told you something. You may be angry at me because I told you something. You may be angry at another brother or sister because she told you something. But if we said it's of the word of God and it's true, then you better get over it. And don't stay angry too long. We had people in here that would say, oh, I believe in corporal punishment, you know. And they'd say, I believe in, kick their ass, kill them, you know. But the minute I smacked them in the head, they went nuts. I smacked them in the head twice, right? I don't smack people much up here. I think for all the years I've been here, I smacked two people, three smacks. One person once and another person twice. That's all the corporal punishment I admonished up here. Most of the time, the people, I just kick them out. They leave. But after these two people that profess their obedience to all these commandments, tough ones, oh yeah, he hit me! Oh, where did I read the commandment? Thou shalt beat that kid if he's disobedient, except for Mr. X.
Yeah.
Don't hit him.
Yeah.
You smack him. Oh, no, you keep your hands off of him. People talk a good game when it comes to their own personal okay, now we got another story going on here, you know? There's another story going on when it hits home. But it's true, so people can preach a good game. But it's also, can you take it, can you live it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the just man is first accuser of himself. Yeah. And that's the problem with the Diamond Brothers. They never accuse themselves of anything. They sweep it under the carpet and go on. Oh, I agree, he can't be a true prophet because he's always saying how wrong he is. That's the only way you could be right, is when you admit you're wrong. Think about it. If you don't admit you're wrong on 5 points, now you've got 5 things you're wrong on, and from those 5 things you're wrong on, sprout out another 5. And so
failure is the best teacher.
Yeah, right. And you don't have to tell me right away, because you want to. Remember, it says in the scriptures, if a brother's doing, it's in Luke 18:17. If a brother sins, you admonish him one on one. With no, you don't need a witness even. If he doesn't listen to you, bring another brother. So, Matthew 18:17. And if he doesn't listen to you, bring another brother, 2 or 3 witnesses, and admonish him. If he doesn't listen, then tell the church, which is me, and then I get involved. Thomas was trying to help him, so correct. That's what you're trying to do. I understand that. And then if they're not listening after you've done what you can do, you keep it in house. Yeah. If one person could admonish somebody and listen, then it's done. It's over. The fire's put out, and it doesn't go any further. But if they don't listen, then you bring 2 or 3. You see how merciful God is, you know. And then you try for that. If not, then you got to tell the church. Which is me, then you would tell me, and then I would get involved, and I'd say, okay, here's what we got to do. But I'm just saying it to make sure you don't go so far as to start making excuses for what they're doing. You make sure that, and then you tell them, look, there's a point where if you don't listen, I'm going to have to tell Richard, I'm going to have to tell him, and then we're going to have to straighten this out. But I would tell him, as long as you get right. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, but that's the proper procedure on all of that. And that's the way the local bishops would deal with problems in their own diocese and the priest in his own church. So if the priest can handle it in his own church, fine. If not, he goes to the bishop. If they're not listening to the bishop goes to the pope. Now, usually the bishop is the one at the supreme in the diocese. He can handle most things. But they did allow people to appeal to the pope under certain circumstances. But the bishop does have the power to excommunicate, you know, and he has the power to. So anyway, it's a good lecture for all of us. If you you're coming into the, we got rules here, you know.
It's with your memorization verse today. It's
just, huh?
The memorization, Philippians 2:12. You know.
Oh yeah. With fear and trembling,
work out your salvation
with fear and trembling. So, like I said, this is our rule of law. So don't let anyone, everyone's got their rule of law. Well, this is the Catholic Church's rule of law. If you belong to a government or a business, anybody who works for a boss has got to do what he says. Mm-hmm. But you've got such a spirit of rebellion in this world. Oh, it's so bad. And God told me, in these final days, women are going to be the hardest ones to convert because of feminism. Because once mm-hmm. you let them sit on the perch, and have power, it's hard to take them off of that perch. That's why I warn you. Know, can I say follow me instead of obey? No, you say obey.
Yeah.
Okay? You say obey. Yeah. You say obey. Try that to the mafia guy, your godfather. You know, can I say just I'm going to follow you, but do I need to obey you? Well, that's the end of that, man. The whole thing breaks apart, you know? Ah, you don't have to do what I say. Or anything, like the military. You know, imagine that. General Patton, sir, yes. 10th Battalion, you know. Can I just follow you and not obey you? You know, because then if I don't agree with you, I can just back the tank out of the water and leave your ass up there to get killed. What is all of that? Oh.
Hey, why didn't that army go where I told them to go?
Bring in the zealous Muslims. Bring in the Orthodox Jews. Bring in the North Koreans. Bring in the people that at least have respect for their leaders and their elders. Bring those people in. Those are the ones I want. And I tell you, when they come in here, they're going to obey like there's no tomorrow. It's in the scriptures. A people of a strange language that you don't know will come in, and they will bow down to you and obey you like there's no tomorrow. Yeah. Yes, master, what do you want me to do? Watch these movies and look how slaves treated their own masters. They loved them so much that when their masters died, they would kill themselves because they couldn't live without their masters.
Or convert.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about pagan society. Yeah, it's just a Catholic that wouldn't do that, but... Pagan slaves, but even okay, won't kill, a Catholic slave won't kill himself, but he would mourn, you know. And but anyway, this is the one. There's most of the people in the democracies and republics are going to have a hard time, but not everybody. There's some people that have that desire to be obedient to a rule, to a law, to a person, and they're out there. And like I said, even mafia people. Even though they're bad, at least they're obeying somebody. They give a loyalty. They're willing to kill for what they believe in, even though it's for the wrong purposes and all that. But even a pagan, who like a Viking or something, he gives his obedience to his warlord. It's not going to be too hard to get that guy to obey. Matter of fact, obedience is not going to be his main problem, just dogmas of faith and other issues. So, all right, now we'll begin with the mass prayers. And what I'm going to do is this is getting a little hot in here. When I start talking, it gets a little hot. See, hey, what's the temperature in Ireland, Thomas? In Dermot, up where you are. Is it different?
Did they look off?
Generally cold.
Yeah, because you're in the winter now, right?
It's a miserable day today. It's rain and cold.
You know, one thing about the desert, it gets cold at night. It'll get cold at night here. It can go down to 20, even zero. And below 30 at nighttime, but it warms up during the day. It's like a tremendous span of temperature. So right now, it's warm outside. Now.
We're having a real warm Christmas,
too. Yeah, on top of it. Now, if it was cold out, maybe I wouldn't have to take... it was a little cool when I started this. Now I got to take the... I think it's the temperature's got nothing to do with me, does it? My passions?
A little later than the... starts burning.
We should all have a passion for Christ and God. We should all be obsessed with one thing, God.
Yeah.
And the Catholic faith. That's the only true good obsession that we can have.
And hatred of
evil.
That's right.
Well, it's Amos, love good and hate evil.
Exactly.
Love good and hate evil. And we're not talking about Bush and Saddam Hussein. Remember when we started to support that war? Bush good, Saddam evil. Bush good, Saddam evil. Are you kidding me? The Saddam was way better than you. He's less evil than Bush. Bush is telling us who's evil. A Freemason pig that's serving Talmudic Jews. He's telling me that he's good? Come on, you gotta be out of your mind. You know, so my friend, a Scottish friend, was an optician, MacFarlane, you know, he always say that. Bush good, Saddam evil. And so you walk around, you're done, you go like, next morning, Saddam is evil, Bush is good. Why? I don't know, I heard it. It was on the news.
Yeah.
Bush said it. Bush good, Saddam evil, this is evil. Brainless people. They get what they did. But there's a lot of stuff happening now where some people are beginning to wake up. And because God's grace is operating out there. Okay, I'm just going to take this thing off and then we'll start the mesh pressure. You can talk to the Inquisitor over here.